And we have four albums up for review this evening. Latest from Ireland's favourite boss, Bruce Springsteen. This one's called Western Stars. Madonna is back with alter ego Madam X. And The Book of Traps and Lessons comes from poet Kate Tempest. Our fourth album for consideration this evening is a collaboration from Calexico and Iron and Wine. And that one is called Years to Burn. With me in studio, Sarah Hedeman and Simon Marr. We're going to start with Bruce Springsteen's Western Stars. Why don't we listen to a track to get us started? This one is called Hello Sunshine.
Hello sunshine, won't you stay?
Hello Sunshine, coming from the new Bruce Springsteen album called Western Stars. Is this an all new Bruce Springsteen that we've never heard before? Or in fact, was this Bruce just sitting in there underneath a cowboy hat somewhere dying to get out, Simon Marr?
You get the feeling that he's been wanting to do this for a long, long time. And what's probably most surprising is that he hasn't done it up to this, because his vocal is so suited to country music and the sort of songs that he sings are so suited to country music, because he spent years, 45 years, singing about pickup trucks, girls called Mary and swimming holes. You know, but now in 2019, he's decided, I think it's time for you to do a cowboy album. And you can tell he's loving this.
Yeah, and I suppose what's significant about this, this is the first original material since 2012, since Wrecking Ball. That's, if you think about it in those terms, that's a long time for no original material to come out, Sarah.
Well, yeah, absolutely. And I suppose what's important to kind of consider as well with this album and the new direction is that this comes after his really long stint in Broadway, where he did 236 shows over the space of 3 years. So I think, you know, when you're doing...
And that subsequently became a Netflix...
Exactly, Springsteen on Broadway. So I think when you're singing your big hits night after night, you do kind of want a bit of a break and you want to change your pace, you want to do something different. But what's interesting actually is that sessions for this album began in 2010 and then also continued in 2014 until 2015 in his home. He's got no E Street Band here. This is also his first solo record since 2005's Devils and Dust. But he does have some of the E Street alumni on here. He's got also Paddy Scalfa, and what's a really good collaborator here is John Bryan, who is a really cool composer who has done stuff for Eternal Spot.
I've read some, I think it might have been actually you, I don't know which of you mentioned it in your notes, that Springsteen himself had said this is Burt Bacharach and Glenn Campbell. Because I kind of made a note somewhere myself, oh, Glenn Campbell there. Yeah. And Burt Bacharach quite left empty. These big open, big orchestrations that you wouldn't necessarily associate with him. Yeah.
Even on that song that we heard, Hello Sunshine, when I heard that for the first time, I immediately thought it was maybe a cover of Harry Nilsson's Everybody's Talking. Yeah. It sounds so like it, like dangerously so. But with Glenn Campbell, there's a song, The Wayfarer, which...
Yeah, we'll listen to it. We'll listen to it shortly. This hat suits him, Simon.
Oh, it does. I mean, like, there's no question from the very, very start. You know, from the moment this album starts off, you can tell he's comfortable with this. You know, he's loving this. I mean, he obviously loves everything that he does, because he'll come and he'll do a live gig and he'll do 3.5 hours or whatever it is. But he's come to this and it's like he knows he's got still has stories to tell. And I thought when he talked about doing this that it was going to be very much, here's my interpretations of country classics. You know, back to the American songbook or whatever. But it's a very Bruce thing, even though the themes are probably very American songbooky. The songs themselves are very him.
But if it wasn't Bruce, would we? Are we giving it more latitude than we would give if this album as a country style album if it wasn't Bruce Springsteen?
I think because it fits him so well, and I think, but in fairness, I think the songs are very strong. I think there's a number of songs on this. I think there's 13 songs on the album, but I think there's 5 or 6 songs on this album which are very, very strong indeed, and I think would work well in the hands of anybody with that sort of deep, husky, well-worn, well-travelled sort of a voice.
Yeah, however, I did note at the top of page 2 of your notes, Sarah, with the good, however, there comes the bad.
That's not wrong. Yeah,
so where's the bad?
there's a few times where I think there's bad in this album. I do think sometimes while his croon is nice, his voice does sound strained sometimes. For me, where it gets bad is with Sleepy Joe's Cafe. I think that's an absolute mess of a song. It has no place, I think, within this album. It sounds like...
Is it just an aberration within the other one or two songs that just shouldn't have been there in your head?
It just doesn't fit at all. It sounds like a really poor attempt of trying to do Garth Brooks in the 90s. And it's just... doesn't fit in with the character narratives throughout the album. So all of the songs are character driven with these very desolate people. There's a failed songwriter, there's a lonely actor, and then there's this really irritating and vibrant mariachi band. And every time that I knew that that song was coming up, it just really ruined it for me.
All right, you did like The Wafer. I think you both like The Wafer. Yeah, so let's, before I get started, we'll have a listen to a bit of that.
I'm a wayfarer, baby. I drift from town to town. When everyone's asleep and midnight bells sound, the wheels are kissing up the highway, spinning round and round. You start out slow.
So there he heads off wayfaring around from town to town the way you would if you were a country character.
Of course you would.
That's Bruce Springsteen, The Wayfarer, from the new album, which is called Western Stars. Stars from you, Simon Marr.
I enjoyed this album far more than I thought I would, and I'm going to give it 4.5. The only reason I'm dropping off the half when he gets sad. For me, he doesn't get quite sad enough. And it's one thing that Springsteen specialises in is when things go utterly wrong. Things go pretty wrong for him in here, but then he just moves on to the next town.
As in wrong for the characters in the song.
Exactly, yes.
Okay, and stars from you, Zara.
Well, I don't think this is, you know, his big masterpiece. I did really enjoy the swell of strings, the country tinges to the arrangement. So I am going to give him a 3 out of 5.
3 out of 5 from you. All right, let's move on then. Another stalwart of the music business for quite a long time, Madonna. This new album is called Madame X, an alter ego adopted throughout the album. Is this a new alter ego? I asked you when you walked into the studio, Zara, and you answered me in rather enigmatic fashion. Answer me again. Is this a new alter ego?
It's a new alter ego, but with roots. So basically, when Madonna was 19 and she moved to New York to become a dancer, she trained under a teacher called Martha Graham, who said to her one day that she said, "I'm going to give you a new name as Madame X because every day you come to school with a new identity." And I suppose that is such a pertinent quote that really defines Madonna's 35 plus year career, because she was so celebrated as continually deconstructing and reconstructing her image and her sound. So with Madame X, Madonna has said herself that she feels as though she's come full circle. She has, of course, given Madame X a character arc. I'll read out how she describes her. She says, "Madame X is a secret agent, travelling around the world, changing identities, fighting for freedom, bringing light to dark places. She's a dancer, a professor, a head of state, a housekeeper, an equestrian, a prisoner," and she goes on and on. So throughout the album, which is incredibly long, she's an hour long with 15 songs throughout that duration, she kind of taps into each of those personas.
Well, here's how the persona starts out with a track called Medellin, and Maluma is with her on this opening track, I think. Opening track, Medellin, are part of it from Madame X, the new album from Madonna. And whatever about in here in studio, there was a lot of chair dancing going on out in the production area. And I know there are a few self-confessed Madonna fans out there. She can do no wrong in some of their minds. Is she doing any wrong, or is she doing loads of right in your mind on this one, Simon Mark?
It's a real mixed bag. It's one of those things that if you listen to that track and you thought, this is what the album is going to be, this is the route she's taking, you go, okay, that's fair. fair enough. You're Madonna. You've got every right to take that route. But she does that and then the persona changes and she becomes some other person. And then the musical style changes completely. And you'll hear a bunch of, like, that's kind of Latin beats.
Yeah.
But then you'll hear sort of almost orchestral stuff with vocoders, you know.
Yeah, and the second track has Dark Ballet and Tchaikovsky's Nutcracker Suite is in there in a really odd synthesized version.
And you can't, there's no way, it's not fair to criticise Madonna for trying to do things differently because we spend so much time giving out to artists for producing these sort of like focus group albums that's like produced by an algorithm. But if this is produced by an algorithm, it's produced by a mad algorithm, Sean.
A Madonna-like algorithm.
Exactly, yes.
That's the point, though. A bit like the question I asked about Bruce Springsteen. If it was anybody else other than Madonna doing this, would we say, it's a hodgepodge of styles, a hodgepodge of stuff. You don't know. There's no single voice bringing us right through it. But because it's Madonna, do we just accept? Do we accept it because it's her, or is this just the nature of the beast?
I actually think because it's Madonna, it would be a bit more open to criticism, that people will be probably a bit more forthcoming with, you know, trying to bring her down. Because I suppose with her last album, Rebel Heart, which openly is a, it's like it serves its purpose musically in that it will get you, as we all were, chair dancing. I think that the same happens here. It's a very fun album. It's a bizarre album. But what's great, I think, in this instance, is that Madonna has, you know, lessened her collaborators on this album. She's trying to hone things in. Right. She's also working with the French producer Miroz, who worked on her really incredible albums, Music from 2000 and Confessions on a Dance Floor in 2005. So you can tap into those moments where you can hear his little traits in there. You can hear how the two of them have worked together. And I do think, I know you're laughing, but you were dancing too, Sean.
I was dancing. No, I'm just wondering if it was the French producer's idea to start the track crazy like this.
You must think I'm crazy. Você me põe tão louca. Você pensa que eu sou louca. And I won't let you drive me crazy. I won't let you drive me crazy. Você não vai me põe tão louca.
Several countries visited, actually, in the space of a minute and a half.
But in a good way on that song.
You said, Simon, that you thought that actually is one of the best songs
absolutely,
in the album.
Yes, yeah.
Crazy is the name of the song from Madame X from Banana. Yeah, why is it one of the best songs in the album?
For me, it sounds Madonna-esque, but it sounds much more like just a From Music. You know, they're just really, really good songs, and really good songs to dance to with really good beats, and a fabulous vocal on that.
Yeah, although lyrics were they always a problem. I'm looking at some of the lyrics from Extreme Occident, which is a song further down on the album. I went from the far right to the far left. I came from the Midwest to the extreme east.
Yeah, she's had an issue with lyrics, I think, recently, like Rebel Heart. If you listen to Rebel Heart for the music, there's some nice sort of beats that are going on in it. But if you listen to the lyrics, it's frightening sometimes. Mm. And likewise in this.
Yeah, yeah, I think
Extreme
both,
Occident and Killers Who Are Partying.
Yeah, give us some of the lyrics from
Killers
that.
Who Are Partying has got a I'll be Islam if Islam is hated. I'll be Israel if they're incarcerated. Mm. You know, and there's plenty of that sort of stuff going on.
And yeah, I mean, there was a lot of talk around the time, why did she take part in the Eurovision? Do you think that'll have an effect on this album in any way, Sarah?
It definitely, I think, has made people a bit more cautious of supporting and listening to her, maybe. I think her decision to perform at the Eurovision was very divisive and very ill-informed, I think. In that regard, I do think it will have a little bit of an effect, but when you hear the album, when you hear the songs, you go back to her back catalogue, she is what she is. She's an incredible pop star. She will make a song that'll get you on the dance floor.
Yeah, okay. And it might have you dancing in your chairs if you're sitting while listening. Stars out of five from you, Zara.
There's just a little bit too much going on here. There are too many ideas. So 3 out of 5 for me.
3 out of 5. And Simon, what are you saying?
No, I think 3 out of 5 is fair. It's worth it for the good tracks, and then you just have to disregard and hope that you never hear the bad ones again.
All right. Stars, did you say as well? Three as well, okay. So that's the first two done at this point. Madonna and Bruce Springsteen will be back shortly to talk about Kid Tempest and that collaboration between Iron and Wine and Calexico. All right, continuing with our slightly extended album reviews this evening, we have four. We've already spoken about Bruce Springsteen's Western Stars and Madonna's Madam X. Now we're going to move on to Kate Tempest, and the collaboration between Calexico and Iron and Wine. Sarah Hedeman and Simon Marr still with me in the studio. Let's talk Kate Tempest, The Book of Traps and Lessons. Who are we talking about when we talk about Kate Tempest? Simon?
A spoken word poet who puts an awful lot of her stuff to music now. At this stage, released an album called Let Them Eat Kess in about three years ago. It got a Mercury Music Prize nomination. It's very, very powerful stuff. She's very political, you know, she's very radical. But the last album, people, I think, really, really took to it. One, because the music behind it was great, but two, because the stories were so good. She told the stories in a particular way that people were able to identify with. And she played in Glastonbury, I think, 2017. You know, and I think for such a huge stage, such a huge location, she completely owned the place for the 45 minutes she was on.
All right. And the political themes continue on this new album, particularly in this track, Brown Eyed Man. Police brutality is at the heart of the story here, I think.
Yeah, you've got police brutality, you also have capitalism, but at the core of it, it is a story of a man who is taken by the police, beaten and incarcerated.
All right, well, let's have a listen. Kate Tempest, Brown Eyed Man, from her album, The Book of Traps and Lessons.
What's the matter with you, my lovely brown-eyed man? How come I can feel you shaking when I take you by the hand? What's the matter with you, my lovely brown-eyed man? How come I can feel you shaking?
And that's a section there from Brown Eyed Man from Kate Tempest's album, The Book of Traps and Lessons. First thing that really struck me when I was listening to this album today, Zara, was how different it is in musical style. The content of the poems, not that different in some ways, but the musical style is totally different from what we got previously, which was much more beat-driven and almost hip-hop style.
Absolutely, yeah. On Let Them Eat Chaos, what we had was very radio-friendly, very developed, very expanded melodies. But on this album, and it should be said as well that, so on this she worked with Dan Carey, who is a producer that she's worked with a number of times, but Rick Rubin, the legendary American producer,
who she didn't go looking for.
He tracked down her number and was really eager to work with her. And the song there that we heard, Brown Eyed Man, as well, this album has been in the works for about 5 years. So this album, or that song, was originally published in Frank Ocean, who's another very prominent American hip-hop figure. He released an album in 2016 called Blonde, but also released a 360-page magazine with that. And he published this song as a poem within it. So her voice is really spreading across the world. But with music, as you were saying there, the music in this album is so sparse, and it really made me listen to an album in a completely different way, where it actually sometimes took me my third or fourth time hearing a song to actually resonate and remember the melody, because the words are really the key thing with this.
And there's no doubting the emotion that's present in her telling of it there. But did that sparseness, did that necessarily work for you? I'm not sure that it did, Simon.
It did on occasion. Like, there's certain tracks, and you know, there's two or three songs that it works spectacularly well on. There's others where you listen and you would worry that you would listen to 20 minutes, let's say, of the album, and by 20 minutes time you're almost preached out, you know, like you've been told about the evils of consumerism, of globalism, of racism, all like very, very important topics. But
Did you feel you were being preached at? Because it is the Book of Traps and Lessons.
And Lessons, yeah. There was a lot of, you know, it is quite preachy. But yeah, Let Them Eat Chaos, it had the music to it, but it also had, if there was anything, a small lightness of touch in terms of the stories. Whereas sometimes when you're listening to this album, other than tracks like Fire Smoke, you find yourself, you kind of go, jeez, lads, this is bleak. You know, things really, really are bleak, and the sparseness of the arrangements make a difference there.
Sarah?
See, that's one thing that I think Kate Tempest, from listening to this, is that she's a very vital voice, and a very vital voice for younger generations who are growing up in a terrible time, to be honest, to grow up, where you're tethered to your phone, you're being pitted against each other on social media, there's online bullying, there's capitalism, there's housing crisis. So it's really refreshing to have someone who is so articulate, so talented, and has such a reach to be, you know, spreading these messages.
All right, let's have a listen to the track you mentioned there, Simon's Fire Smoke.
And there is something in this tenderness that makes me want to live. Fire smoke. Her mouth sets free this captive. Come close to me. Free me. Let me untangle the madness that knots you.
A little bit there from Fire Smoke, from Kate Tempest, and from her album, The Book of Traps and Lessons. Stars from you overall, you obviously, the vital voice is the important thing for you here, Zara. How does it translate into stars?
I thought this album was excellent, and I think it's so early in her career. I mean, it's only been 6 years since she's really come onto the scene. So I think from now on, she's only going to continue getting better. So for me, it's going to be a 4.5.
Why not 5? What's missing?
I wasn't so fussed on the kind of gramophone arrangement that appeared on I Trap You. I didn't really like that. It was a bit jarring.
So just one of the songs annoyed you slightly. And what are you saying, Simon?
I'm going to give it 3.5.
3.5.
3.5, yes.
All right, 4.5 and 3.5 respectively. Let's move on to album number 4. Collaboration between Calexico and Iron and Wine. The album is called Years to Burn. Is this a pairing that it has happened before? Is it a pairing that we'd expect necessarily, given their individual styles, Zara?
Probably not. But then when you do meld
them
together,
of saying, please tell us their individual styles.
Their individual acts.
Yeah. But tell when you meld them together. But what are we melding together? I suppose,
so what we're melding together here is Iron and Wine is the moniker for Sam Bean, who is known for kind of sparse indie folk arrangements. Sometimes we'll delve into kind of adding a bit of breath to his songs. And then Calexico, of course, are the vibrant Tex-Mex Americana indie band. They both, I suppose, like Calexico more so would probably be the lesser popular of the two. Iron and Wine has a huge following, and I mean, I think it's safe to say that Father John Misty has ripped very heavily from his style. But Calexico would have been known throughout the 90s for their very kind of fun, almost sometimes mariachi kind of tropes.
Right, well, let's listen to how those two styles go together. Iron and Wine, a much quieter style, really, than
Absolutely,
Calexico.
Yeah.
Here's a track called What Heaven's Left.
Into this world. Late on the street and like the morning, you'll find me in time. Ask me what heaven's left, I'll say nothing comes to mind.
What Heaven's Left from Calexico and Iron and Wine on the album Years to Burn. The EP that they collaborated on previously, In the Rains, 14 years ago.
It was a long time ago.
No, it took them so long to come back. Because it was very successful, wasn't it?
It was.
People said, well, this is a great collaboration.
And I think people thought this is going to be the start of a beautiful relationship. And then they went off in their different ways and came back. And it was one of these often promised things. Mm. And then they said, look, when we come back, we're going to come back and do it properly, release a full album. But even in this, I think this is an 8-track, 32-minute album.
Yeah, it's very contained.
You know, but what they've done is this time, it's probably more of a cooperative effort than In the Rains was. Because when they did In the Rains, it was very much, you do the lyrics, we'll do the music. Whereas this time, it's more of a match. Spent some
and
time
and
together.
Do you hear within that, I mean, given that it is more of a cooperation, is it a much more even-handed sound? Is either particular party to the fore, or is it even Stevens?
No, it's very much even Stevens. And even the times when, say, Sam Bean is singing a song.
Who's Iron and Wine?
Who's Iron and Wine, yeah. Calexico is Joey Burns and John Convertino. But when Joey Burns and Sam Bean sing together, their harmonies are really lovely. And they both, I think because they've had this relationship for 14 years, I mean, Sam Bean has also featured on two of Calexico's albums, Carried to the Dust and Edge of the Sun. So they do have a good understanding, they have a good relationship, and I think they work very well together because they bring out the best in each other. Where like Calexico will put a bit of brass in there, and Iron and Wine will have his very pastoral
kind of
approach.
So he pulls them down a little bit from madness, and they lighten him up.
And that was one thing.
Soporific.
Yeah, that was one thing as well that I think was what delayed this collaboration, because they were both quite nervous working together because they were both a bit intimidated by each other and their abilities.
Right. A little bit of Midnight Sun, and then I'll ask you for your stars. All right, sorry about that, lads. Have to say goodbye to you. Midnight Sun from Calexico Iron and Wine. Does it work for you, this collaboration? Simon and does. Stars, please.
It does. No, I think this is lovely. Like, there's a couple of little bum notes every so often, but I think other than that, it works really well. For the next time around, I want them to bring Bruce Springsteen in. And then I think that would be the perfect mix if you could mix Calexico Iron and Wine and Springsteen.
It'd be far too long an album but title to say on air.
It's a very solid 4 out of 5 for me.
All right. And what are you saying, Zara?
I loved this album. I thought it was really dynamic. There's a lot going on. It's not one to be complacent with. They invigorate your ears. So for me, it's a 4.5.
4.5. Good. You just had a good time with your 4 albums, more or less, didn't you? Zara Hedeman there and Simon Marr speaking to us about 4 albums, which were Western Stars from Bruce Springsteen, Madam X, Western Stars from Bruce Springsteen, Skies, what? I think it's Western Stars, isn't it? It is Western Stars from Bruce Springsteen, Madonna's Madam X, The Book of Traps and Lessons from Kate Tempest, and Years to Burn from Calexico and Iron and Wine.